it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Merrill Hodge is going to join us in about 12 minutes or so. So we got a final round of your phone calls. Then we have Merrill Hodge. Then we have our dueling Super Six Packs. And then we have Dumb Dumb of the Day. So unfortunately, it's just a jam-packed show. That's Fridays. And that's the way it is. I know it's a post-game reaction. But you'll have plenty of chance to respond and get in with Linnell Burgundy and Gold today coming up in an hour right here on the Team 980. So let's go right back to it on the phones. Ask you to make your comments as short as we possibly can. Let's get to, let's see here. Let's go to line three, Mad Max, Don in D.C., next up on the Team 980. What's up, Don? How are you?
Chris, how you doing,
hey,
man?
Don, what's going on?
It's been a long time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
you. First time calling.
Oh, nice to have you aboard.
Listen,
thank
man,
you.
It was horrible game all the way around. I mean, besides the two special teams plays mm-hmm. we had, I can't think of much else to happen
yeah.
to it. I just want to say, man, everybody that's saying – calling in panicking, Jaden Daniels is all of a sudden not a top 15 quarterback. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
And somebody else called in saying, you know, oh, we can't win with the team. I just want everybody to know, minus a few players, this is the same team that went 12-5 last year, 2-1 in the playoffs, lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion. Everybody is week two. Just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. I'm pretty sure that they're going to get it together. Look at what we had to go off from last year. So just everybody just take a deep breath, relax. It's game two of the regular season, and let's see how this thing plays out. Thanks, Chris.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, short and sweet. Thank you, Don. Appreciate you. Let's go to, where are we going here? Little, next up on line six. What's up, Little?
Rooster. Oh. The man, Max. Look, I was telling Max, look, man. It seemed like Las Vegas gave him the script, and they went by the script Las Vegas gave it to him, the way they was playing. Man, look, I never seen a team, Rooster, and this is where I would start bawling and getting upset. Your first 10 possessions, go back and look at the tape. I only want to go back and look at tape. Go back and look at the first 10 possessions you pass on first down. Come on, man. And, you know, I'm going to tell you one other thing. You know, Rooster, from Pee Wee League all the way up to the pros,
mm-hmm.
When you don't feel like you want to run the ball to try to start, you start the game off passing.
Mm-hmm.
You start the game off passing because you had the Eckler in the backfield. When you come at a team and you feel like you don't want to run to establish the run, you know what the defense do? They inhale your fearness. I played football. I played with high school football. I would love to see a team to come out and just try to manhandle a game. That's how you start a game off. You say, well, look, I'm going to see what we can do. Can we establish the run? At least try to establish it. So I'm hoping Kingsbury, but look, simple as this, man. If you don't realize off the top, to be like my man 757 was saying, you got to come to any football, from Pee Wee League to the pros. You got to start. You got to say, look, man, we're going to see if we can get these boys on the heels.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go at them. So if you come in, that's why I'm hoping Kingsbury don't get in his demeanor and say, okay, everybody in the DMV think I pose a run. I'm going to do it my damn way. Come on, Kingsbury. I hope you're listening, man. Don't get in your feelings. Let's let these boys prove that they can root the ball and let's get this thing rolling. As simple as that, man. And I look at how they was coming off at the ball. They're coming off on each end, so that's when you roll to slow the rush down. Man, I'm seeing a lot of things, man. Look, I'm so glad I saw Joe Gibbs and them, and I was able to soak all immune
yeah.
all that stuff Joe Gibbs used to do. Joe Gibbs go to halftime and adjust. We don't see no adjustment.
Little, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. They're 1-1.
Y'all stay up, man. I'm just
so
upset about it because I like Kingsbury. Come out your feelings, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Cliff Kingsbury's got a lot of questions to answer. For last night's performance. And so does Joe Witt, quite honestly. I mean, there was a lot of confusing stuff. I can't say I'm looking forward to watching the tape, but I am looking forward to slowing things down a little bit. and trying to figure out what the hell they were thinking. Because I don't have the answers, because I don't know. And what they did for a second consecutive week with the clock and game management at the end of the first half, absolutely atrocious. I don't remember seeing a lot of that last year. Absolutely atrocious, second week in a row. Terrible. Atrocious. Let's get to Jay in Omaha, line 8. Line 8 is Jay in Omaha. What's up, Jay? How are you? Jay? All right, we'll put Jay back on hold, or we'll try him again. Let's get to our guy Dom in Tampa next up on the Team 980 Line 1. What's up, Dom? How are you?
Rooster, good afternoon. Always a pleasure talking to you.
My guy, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're fingers crossed here. No hurricanes in our vicinity. So let's keep it that way, I guess.
Understood. Understood. Room for you as always.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. For me, obviously, you know, it's pretty obvious. We were outcoached. We were outplayed. All of those things. But I think the biggest thing that I took away from this, and I get it, it's only one game, but I think personally we were exposed, in terms of how to defend us, you know, in an offensive situation. You know, I mean, you look at what you know Green Bay did. They rushed 4 and they dropped 7. That's exactly what Philadelphia does.
Mm-hmm.
And look at our results against them, especially against in the NFC Championship game. So. You know, I think the Kingsbury, you know, and staff, they got to find a way to beat the zone defense, because that's the way that, you know, it works against us. And, you know, unless you do that, and whether you do that by running the football, whether you do that by, more slant. Plants and quick game.
Well, Dom, let me just jump in on and just go back and forth with you a second, right? You're right. Zone D, you should have more separation on with zone coverage, quite honestly. You should have more separation. It shouldn't be as sticky as it was last night. So that leads me to believe that either guys are running bad routes and into coverage, or maybe Jaden's a little bit late, which I thought I saw last night. And again, I'll try and have a better feel for on Monday. Or, to your point, and I think I mentioned this earlier, Cliff is, you know, if you're seeing them play softer coverage and dropping 7 and taking away stuff, and especially you're having a hard time getting guys open and getting separation, well, then you have to do something schematically. A stack, sure. A triple spray, 4 wide receivers on one side. Do something different than just rolling it out and trying what you've been trying.
I just think we're a little too predictable, you know, in a lot of stuff. And, you know, and I've been watching Jaden, you know, so far this season, and he just looks off. You know, he looked off in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, with the connections that he didn't get to Zach Ertz. I think it happened again early in the game last night. Either it's a slow start, and, you know, I guess the old saying is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I guess, you know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, something's got to change, because this is not the formula. And if you say that you're this contender team, then you got to, you know, these are the teams that you got to beat. And if you don't, then no, you're not a contender. You're just a middle of the pack team. So, you know, again, I get it's only 2 games. You know, let's see what next Sunday against the Raiders brings. But, you know, they definitely got to, you know, look in the mirror and say, you know, there's something we got to do differently.
Yeah, I hear you. Great call. As always, Dom, stay safe and hope everything is okay. Let's go to, let's see here, Teddy in Silver Spring on line 4, Mad Max. Hello, Teddy. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing, Rooster?
Good, Ted. What's going on?
You gotta love your job, man. You know, one win and we're gonna win the Super Bowl. One loss, we suck. I mean, everyone here is the sky is falling.
Yeah,
and I don't see it that way. They coached a bad game. on both sides of the ball. Jaden, to me, looked like he's almost telegraphing his passes, and he's being late, almost like he's tapping his foot before he actually throws the ball.
Yep.
That's similar to what you
that's
would do. When you
yeah, that's similar like to what I said. And you even added a little more detail, right? I mean, maybe he's seeing ghosts. Yeah. Maybe it's the lack of separation. I don't know what it is, but I think he's been late a couple of times, like later than he was last year.
Absolutely, and it's almost like he's not confident in where, you know, when he's about to throw the ball, like he's not totally confident in the receiver being open. So that's what I saw, and, I mean, you got to figure, no excuses, but we played all at Lambeau, the Packers, who probably have the best defense in football. If you would have asked me on paper before the season started, I would have looked at it and saw the travel and the short turnaround. I wouldn't have counted that as a win. So I don't know why. I mean, they're not going to go undefeated. The Packers not going to go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
It's week two, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, and you evaluate your team later on and how they progress and how they get better. Right now, hey, they got their butt handed to them. They have some things they can go back and correct and be motivated by. The coaches have something that they can go by and correct and coach. And it was a humbling experience. You just played a better team. And my last point is, last year, we were a team that was kind of better than mediocre, but had contender results. Doesn't mean that we were an upper echelon elite team. Because mm-hmm. when we played the teams at the time we played them in the year that were upper echelon teams, like Baltimore and so forth, we lost. So we're not on that elite level yet. We're ascending. We're trying to get there. So everybody should really kind of check their expectations, I believe.
Teddy, I think it's a very, very, very rational, smart, common sense-filled phone call. The only problem that I would just fight back with you on, and maybe pick back on you, not fight back, is that they were, even though the final score didn't say it, they were pretty much manhandled last night. So that's what I think everybody's a little – I think everybody could have handled the tight three-point loss, well played, you know, down to the wire. Oh, man, if they could have – you know, I think everybody would have been okay with that. This feels a lot worse than a nine-point loss, quite honestly.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Rooster. Without seeing the game, if somebody told you that it was a one-possession game in mm-hmm. the fourth quarter
yeah. –
wouldn't you wouldn't have felt bad about that?
Right, no, absolutely not. And that's what I'm saying. It with 13 and change left to go, is a 7-point game. But they literally could not wait to throw up all over themselves. They couldn't.
I agree.
You know? Appreciate you, Teddy. Good call. Thank you. Have a good weekend, bud. Let's do this. Where are we going here? No Joke Neil in Baltimore is next. And then we'll get to Jason Laurel. What's up, No Joke? How are you?
First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
And I want to say to the Redskin Nation, HTTRC, hail to the Redskin Commander. Look, guys, peace. Those guys, the Packers, they played a great game. They're one of the best teams in the league. Jordan Love, he's been around with his coordinator mm-hmm. / head coach now for, what, 5 years, 6 years. He's learned under a Hall of Famer, and that Hall of Famer learned under another Hall of Famer. So let's give it to those guys. And yes, the defense dropped the ball. Let's try and do what they did to us. We got a good four. Let's drop our five back.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the nickel defense in and let the damn coaches make the adjustment. And yes, we faced this last year. Tampa Bay did this to us. We regrouped and we righted this shit. So let's not get upset. I drunk the Kool-Aid as well all week. I put on a shirt that I don't win in, but I said I'm not going. You know, we got Michael Jordan. Jaden Daniels can make everybody better, but those guys didn't catch the ball. Those guys hit and not rap. You have to coach them up. Hit and rap. That's what tackling's about. It's a two-man thing. You got to be out there to win it and put your heart in it. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate the phone call. Trust me, they're coaching them up. The question is whether they're actually, like, able to execute, right? And sometimes football players, you could tell them and remind them and tell them and show them and teach them. And then somebody tries to hit somebody with a shoulder and bounces off of them, like what happened last night a couple of times. By the way, all of our football talk right here on the Team 980 is presented by our friends at Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We still have our Dueling Super Six Pack coming up, but first we got to get to and Merrill Hodge, and we'll try and squeeze in more calls, but we got to get to our guy Jason in Laurel on line five next up. Jason with us on the Team 980. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Rooster, how you doing?
What's up, Jason? How are you?
Good, good, good. Look, so I loved the cast last night. I actually turned the volume of the TV off and watched that, and I thought it was very entertaining. Listen to Chris Cooley do the games, and I would turn the TV off. And you guys weren't doing the play-by-play per se, but I was telling Max what I loved. It kind of reminded me when I was in my 20s, and I'd watch a football game with a bunch of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it was like I was sitting in on that experience. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they obviously wanted to, that's what they wanted to create. I mean, we realized, people are watching the game, but, people were probably frustrated, and that maybe led to more people wanting to see what we said. Now, we're not trying to curse. We're not trying to act like, idiots.
You did drop a bomb.
I did.
You dropped a bomb there.
I did, Jason. Potty mouth that I am. I need a bar of soap. But we were just trying to give a different experience for what we normally do.
Bruce, I really like it. If you do it again, I'll definitely tune in.
Thank you, pal.
As far as the game, I think there's a lot of overreaction and oversimplification of something. Mine is that's the worst game we've seen Jaden Daniels play. And one or two plays go differently, and we're right there at the end. I mean, it was like 17-10, right? What they did isn't all that complicated, but they were able to put pressure with rushing four and putting everybody back in zone coverage. And I think it's almost unfair to call it zone coverage because it was zone, but they were sitting on slants and bug hooks because that's the only thing we ran. Mm. And what we really needed, we needed to...
We're losing you. Yeah. We lost Jason. Jace, sorry about that, man. Phone line went out. All right, let's do this. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Very quick commercial breaks around here. 10-minute conversation with Merrill Hodge. You'll learn about what he's up to. He's got a big tailgating spread thing that he wants to tell you about. And then we'll talk about the Packers. We'll talk about the Commanders. And we'll have that for you next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, back here on the Team 980. While last night was not fun, football season is still here from tailgates to home gates in the backyard. Fans across the country are gearing up to cheer on their favorite team with food, friends, and fun. Here to share some tips is great former NFL star Merrill Hodge. Nice enough to join us. Merrill, thank you much for joining us right here on the Team 980. I can see you. You got, man, an amazing spread. You look like you're having a great Friday.
Well, Chris, we got some options for you, my friend, that I think will make any game day better for you. In fact, if you like cigars, the Boveda Humidor is a must on game day. Boveda is perfect for cigar storage. Get the Boveda Humidor with a patent two-way humidor or humidity control and sleek design for just $299. It requires no maintenance, unlike conventional humidors. The humidor comes with a one-time seasoning to get you going for the first 6 months and comes with an auto-replenishing option. I know you can't see it, but it is sleek, beautiful, and easy to use. And Hellman's, The reason people come to the game day is what? Obviously for the snacks. You got to have a great dip, and it's critical, like the Hellman's Disappearing Buffalo Chicken Dip. Mm. The secret ingredient is Hellman's mayonnaise. Get the recipe at Hellman's.com. Here's where Hellman's stands out from the others. Hellman's does not get oily or separate. It holds up through the heat and the time. It's craveable from kickoff to the final snap. And Borden cheese, you got to add some comfort food that unites us all. A fan favorite, make your own grilled cheese bar. Add things like meat, onions, avocados. The key is to be creative. And a recent grilled cheese survey showed 1 in 4 Americans prefer using mayonnaise instead of butter for grilled cheese crust. In our room, it was 2 for 2. All right, who does not like a grilled cheese with Borden American cheese melts? Or add Borden jalapeno, it's better with Borden. And then you got to watch the game. I mean, let's be honest, that's another big part of it. The LG OLED line, TV is up to 83 inches. The one we have here is 48, and that is big enough. So great options. And then the secret play of the day, ice cream cake. Carvel Game Ball Cake. Get your ice cream cake at local stores or go to iloveicecreamcakes.com. So there you have it. If you put all these options together, people are going to love your place. And then the game is kind of a bonus, but we hope that's a good game too.
Yeah, Merrill, you got an amazing spread there. I mean, the Hellman's, the Carvel. Like, I feel like a kid again, right? I grew up on Carvel on Long Island,
yeah.
So I know all about Carvel.
Okay.
I'm going to get one of the cigars from my guy, Rick Doc Walker, who you might know from the an extension of the Old Hogs, right?
Yeah.
In Washington. Doc loves his cigars, so I'm going to get him one of those. And, you know, again, Hellman's and Buffalo Chicken Dip. It's all speaking my love language. Now, what isn't speaking my love language is a bad football game, right? And you know, I'm here in Washington, D.C. We chatted for a moment before we started doing this. It is early September. You are going to get some uneven performances, but my goodness, Merrill, the Washington Commanders were dominated on Thursday night, and maybe that just speaks to how good the Green Bay Packers are.
Well, that's what I think it speaks more to is where the Packers are and how good they are. You know, they're a seasoned team. You know, a lot of the real critical components of the team, they had Micah, and that's obviously been, you know, instrumental in their defense, the impact that he has made. But you got to remember that your team is new. And what people forget is what happens in the offseason. You know, these coaches from, say, the Giants and in the division and the Packers, they don't go to the beach. The coaching staff doesn't go to the beach and sip on margaritas until the season starts. I'm telling you, because I've lived all of these different layers of experience. That's what they do in the offseason. And they are breaking down the Washington Commanders and how they play. Because, see, in a way, the Commanders caught everybody off guard. Okay, did they know how Jaden was going to play? Did they know how the new system would be put together, how they would look? Well, you only have, like, 48 hours to get ready for an opponent, you know, during the season, whereas the offseason, you have months to look at an opponent. You get to really break down the depths and the things that you got to do to be effective against them. And so they have to grow from that, too. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that the Commanders can't grow from that. They're going to grow, too. But, you know, that's what makes it, I think, a little different from last year to this year is they're seeing things now they didn't probably see last year, and they're going to have to adjust to that and grow from that. But I wouldn't be completely down. You know, you're 1-1. If you're playing great football now, to maintain that is not an easy thing to do because you want to be really playing great football coming, you know, end of November, early December. So they still have chances to do that. They didn't look terrible, and they were on the road and short week, and the Packers are one of the most elite teams in football right now.
No, you're absolutely right. The great Merrill Hodge is with us right here on the Team 980 as we rewind a little bit, of course, on last night's game. Get you set for your tailgate spreads. Hellman's, Carvel, you got Borden Sheet, right? You just got it all that you guys want to get this weekend, whether it's college football, Maryland hosting Towson in College Park Saturday, and, of course, wherever you might be on Sunday for an NFL tailgate. I know you won't be at Northwest Stadium because, again, the Commanders lost at Green Bay on Thursday night. Speaking of which, and I can't remember from your playing career, did you play Thursday night games, or was that too early? And what is that like? I talked to London Fletcher the other day, and he said, you know, when I was earlier in my career, it was no problem at all. I was young, bouncy, spry, what have you. towards the end of the career, I couldn't even get ready. I couldn't get my mind mentally ready, never mind my body physically ready.
Yeah. Well, we know Thursday night games were not a part of the scheduling, but right. Thanksgiving was. And yeah. we played the Cowboys one Thanksgiving. And there's you know, I think it's different for box players than it is perimeter players. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I mean by that, you know, like anybody who plays in the box, it's more physical there. And that turnover or that short week makes it harder versus a wide receiver, you know, corners, you know, a quarterback, you know, those guys. It's easier for them than the box players, as is what I experienced from, you know, doing a Thursday night game. But it's not easy. But it's the team that can really, you know, put that aside and get ready in a short period of time with a game plan and physically that, you know, does have the advantage, you know, on a Thursday night. And I actually think it would be easier playing a Thursday night game early in the season than later in the season, you know. So I think the people who do it early in the year, it's really at an advantage.
I agree, no doubt about it. Merrill Hodge with us. You mentioned Jaden Daniels, and in his second year, and Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan used to tell me, Sean McVay and all these great coaches that came here out of Washington that I was lucky enough to work with, say the growth from a quarterback year one to year two is astronomical. But you countered by saying, hey, these defensive coordinators, they're not sitting at the beach drinking margaritas. They're countering, and they know this, and they're working all summer when the players technically have off. So how do you kind of balance the growth normally of a quarterback and any player year one to year two with what you said, Merrill?
Well, they've got 2 weeks of evidence now. You know, I'm sure they've seen stuff that they didn't see last year, because that's what teams do. You know, that's why they study so hard. So you've got to counter that and help your quarterback, whatever that is, you know. So that's why I think the month of September is always mixed. You know, you can learn a lot from September, things that you're going to see throughout the year that you can get better at, that you maybe struggled with earlier, and help your quarterback a little better. You know, one thing, like I just watched the game. I didn't see it. I haven't studied it on tape. And that's really the only way you can truly make a fair evaluation. TV lies, highlights really lie. And I didn't study them in the first week either. But what appeared is they're not quite as dominant in their running game as they were last year. And that's, I think, you know, when you're looking at any type of struggles, I don't care who the quarterback is. I remember when Tom Brady, they went to Kansas City on a Monday night early in the year. Kansas City thumped them. I think they were 2-2, and everybody rolled them off. Cincinnati's coming to New England to play. It's a Sunday night game or Monday, whatever it was. And the Bengals were 4-0. And based on the tape study, you were like, okay, the Patriots, they really got no chance to win this game. Then they showed up, and here's what they did. They ran two tight ends, I formation. They ran the football like you would not believe, and they threw run action off of it. Tom Brady looked like he was a rookie from rookie design. Okay, and he's like his 12th year, 13th year. They ended up winning the Super Bowl this year, by the way. But what it did is it reset their offense. Yeah. It reestablished the thing that you have to do consistently. Like, they started controlling the tempo of the game. They started to dictate, you know, good short, seconds and shorts, third and shorts. They managed the game better. They got back on track, and then they started to open things up. I mean, oftentimes you got to look at it, you know, I'm sure – Washington will look at it, okay, how can we be more committed there so that we control the tempo of the game better than we have been controlling it, especially against the Packers.
No doubt. I remember that game. I remember that sequence, and I remember exactly what you're talking about. Merrill Hodge on it as usual. We got to run, but again, make sure for your tailgates, guys, this weekend, Carvel, Hellman's, mayonnaise, board and cheese. What else you got there?
You got there. You go to BovidaHumidor.com. Yeah. And I mean, that humidor is a big deal, man. Yeah. I love them. I just know enough about cigars to be dangerous, but I know this. Humidors are a big deal, and this one is simple and clean and awesome. And then Hellman's.com, boardandcheese.com, and LG.com, and ICECREAMCAKES.com. Mm, if you get all that, you're going to have the perfect party. And now it's up to the teams to have a great game.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Have a great weekend, Merrill. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you.
Anytime, Chris. Take care, bud. Right.
You got it.
All right. That is longtime NFL analyst and former running back Merrill Hodge. We didn't even get to talk about his Steelers. He had a couple of terrible fouls on the display. But he had an impressive display. I mean, just an impressive spread. I love Carvel cake. Oh. Ooh. Mm. And Hellman's mayonnaise. I mean, if you like mayonnaise, Hellman's the best. All right. 33 minutes after the hour. When we return, we'll try and squeeze in as many calls as we can, but Dueling Super Six Pack, top six teams ranked in the NFL in order 1 through 6. Not 6 through 1, 1 through 6. And then 5 games against the spread, because we already picked the Commanders, which we do every week. So just down to 5. Next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, once again, thanks to Merrill Hodge for joining us. If you missed that conversation, check it out in the podcast after the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, as well the Odyssey app, where every segment, every show, every hour, every day is all cut up and isolated for you in one neat little package. Mad Max doing a great job. As always, helping us out. Mad Max, you know what we're watching, baby.
Watching ball.
Well, puck.
Well, this is ball. This is the best of ball.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, wipe the face.
The best ball of the kind that...
The best ball of the rubber puck.
That is shaped of the rubber puck.
Yeah.
Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Thank you, NHL Network. I needed this afternoon. This is a nice little reminder, a nice little pick-me-up. After last night's loss.
Considering how awful it was. There is 15 seconds left in the game. Although the television clock is...
I remember being in the stadium for that when the clock crapped out. And the entire crowd was like, what is happening? Yeah. Everybody started freaking out because we couldn't see the time.
Right. And the Capitals are all standing on their bench. And Ovechkin is banging his stick. And nobody knows, if you're watching on NBC, what is going on in terms of the time. But they ultimately, stopped the clock with like 1.4 seconds or whatever it was, right? And ultimately the faceoff. Now, you were watching it at Capital One Arena, right?
Yeah, it was sick.
Right? Obviously I was very lucky to be at T-Mobile Arena. But on the game clock, the scoreboard clock in the arena, there was a little confusion, but we didn't have the problems that NBC back then was having. So I was able to pretty much have a grasp, you know, of where we were. And the Capitals were furiously trying. They were bringing out Jay Beagle every other shift for faceoffs. Trotsky was shortening the bench and obviously keeping his offensive primary players on the bench so that they could, you know, so that they could win faceoffs and defend and clear the puck. Tom Wilson's out there all the time. They almost scored the empty netter, which would have officially iced it to make it 5-3. You see Ovechkin kind of jumping and just like, come on, man, you know. It's still great after all these years. Like, God, they haven't come close really since then. It's still great after all these years. All right, we got to get to our dueling super six packs, and then we'll try and get a call or two in here before we left. So I'll go quick. No, not Nell's super six pack.
It's the only one I have.
No, the hell with Nell's super six pack. This is better, baby. He stole my original.
I play it.
I know.
You're the originator.
He thinks he creates everything, like exotic Smash Mouth football, which he stole from the Tennessee Titans. My guy, Linnell, he's coming up at 4 o'clock. Here's what we're going to do. 2 Super Six Packs in one segment, and we'll go really quick. I'll pick five games against the NFL spread because we already are 0-1 on the week and therefore 3-4 so far on the year after a 3-3 week last week.
You also had the Dolphins last week, just so you all know.
I know.
The word of warning to everybody.
I know.
The full disclosure.
I know. Dolphins were in a pick 'em and they got picked apart. They got demolished.
What do we got this week? What am I fading now?
This is like the max version of the smell test.
I was going to say, I just got the smell test today, so I want to see how you stack up against against old Sheehan.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start up just slightly 95 north.
Ooh.
In Baltimore, hon.
Okay.
11.5.
It's a lot of points, Russo.
A lot of points. And therefore, I am going to be a sucker and stay with the Browns at +11.5.
Good pick.
I know the Browns stink on offense. The Browns don't stink on defense. I know Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are a little salty over what happened in Buffalo.
I got it.
Remember last year, week two, after a season-opening loss in Kansas City, the Ravens came home 9.5-point favorites to the Vegas Raiders and lost.
I remember.
I'm going for a little reverse karma. The Ravens win. The Cleveland Browns cover the 11.5.
Okay. I like that pick. That's a good one. Good start.
The Cowboys and the New York Giants, -5 are the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. I feel pretty good about that one. I will take the Cowboys -5. You're not liking that, huh?
I'm just, every time I do that, the smell test, it's on the smell test. It's just not the way you picked it. Mm-hmm.
I just watched the Capitals win the Stanley Cup.
Me too. I watch it quarterly.
I mean,
it's pretty great.
How awesome.
Just the elation.
See the boys jumping around.
Seeing Jay Beagle finally win a ring.
I mean,
it means something to me, man.
Ugh, one of the best nights of our lives, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was bouncing around like the streets of D.C. after we won a championship. Can't really ask for more.
Yeah. I mean, they let us on the ice about roughly 15 minutes after this. And, you know, so a lot of the players were still on the ice with their family and whatever. You know, I remember walking right up to Ted Leonsis and, you know, obviously congratulating him and asking him if he could do a quick interview. And I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. I got Ted Leonsis, the owner of the team, finally won a championship one-on-one, baby.
Pretty good.
I'm good. And then Alex Ovechkin, like long after the final Gorn, he's holding the Stanley Cup, right? And his back is kind of turned to me. He's with Zach Leonsis and a couple other people. And I said, Alex. I was right behind him. And he turns around with the Stanley Cup. Whew. Perfect shot. It's probably the best picture I've ever taken in my life. I mean, I was literally like a foot away from, foot and a half away from. Just great. Just awesome. They didn't let us in the locker room, though. But that's okay. All right. So the Cowboys -5 over the Giants in Big D. I'll take the Steelers coming home after a big win against the Jets, in which their defense got lit up like a Christmas tree. They'll play better against the non-Geno Smith, non-DK Metcalf, Seattle Seahawks who travel out east, who didn't look great last week because DK Metcalf is on the Steelers. He hurts his former team. And the Steelers cover the 3 and win outright. Game number 4. I'm going to take another favorite. The Los Angeles Rams and Shawnee McVay travel to Tennessee, the Music City, and they make sweet music on themselves. That pass rush against that offensive line, give me the Rams -5.5 in Nashville. And give me more hugs for Alex Ovechkin. Oh, the best. Is that Christian Juice? I can't even see who else is hugging him so hard.
No, that was Alex Chason.
Oh, Alex Chason. And then Barry Trotz. And they're yelling at each other. Holy moly. Still get chills watching that. Chills. Chills, I tell you. And then the final game of our six-pack, because I already lost and I'm 0-1 on the Commanders.
Tough.
Is the Super Bowl rematch
mm-hmm.
in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely no Xavier Worthy, although not official.
Listed as doubtful.
The Eagles on the road in Arrowhead. Little bit different than New Orleans.
I believe it's a 1.5 spread, ain't it?
I got it at 1.
All right, yeah,
pick them. On BetQL earlier this hour, so I'm going to go with that. I'm going to take the bait and go with the Eagles minus the 1. I'm not a big believer in Kansas City, even before Xavier Worthy got hurt. With Rashee Rice out.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is in Baltimore.
Still making one-handed catches? Yeah,
they can't run the ball. Patrick Mahomes led them in rushing last week. Tough travel back from Brazil, you know, and now you've got to take a Super Bowl champion that's well-rested, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even at home. Give me the Eagles minus 1. So, we're 0-1 on the year. Cleveland plus the 11.5 at Baltimore. Cowboys minus 5 over the Giants. Steelers minus 3 at home over Seattle in the DK Metcalf Bowl. Rams minus 5.5 at Tennessee in Nashville. Eagles minus the 1 in the Super Bowl rematch against the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, 0-1 already on the week with the Commanders plus the 3.5 against Green Bay. Now, we were 3-3 on the week 1 last year. Now, my other Super Six Pack, because this is the most revolutionary, most evolutionary.
Groundbreaking,
award-winning, never-before-done segment in sports talk radio history. With all the music, all the bells and whistles, you know, Nell's intro, everything, right? The top 6 teams in the NFL. Ranked 1-6. No, we don't count them down. We count them up, Mad Max. We count them up. Number one. The team that whacked the Washington Commanders last week. Green Bay.
You mean last night?
I'm sorry, last night. Green Bay jumps from number 5-4 last week to number 1. By beating the Commanders and the Lions in thoroughly dominant fashion in the span of 5 days. Granted, both at home, and they only play one home game for the next 7 calendar weeks. Number 2, when we last saw the Buffalo Bills, they were barely escaping. The Baltimore Ravens in the home opener in Buffalo, the final home opener in the venerable stadium that will be torn down after this year. The Bills are number 2, even though their defense isn't great. We know Josh Allen is. Number 3, the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, who go into Kansas City this week and, of course, won over Dallas. Granted, without Jalen Carter, who decided to act like a dumbass. Number 4, this might surprise you a little bit, Mad Max. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road in Atlanta. Yeah, they needed help, but they also struggled a little bit on special teams. They won a game against a desperate Atlanta team.
We're finding out how much you actually listen to the Kevin Sheehan show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did Kevin also pick this game?
No. I love the Tampa Bay Bucs this year.
Attaboy.
I have them in the NFC Championship game, you taking
know,
on our Commanders.
I do know that. I did know that. I didn't know how you felt about this particular game.
Emeka Ibuka's a dog.
The start to this season, right? So Ibuka with the 2 touchdowns, whatever. I put them at number 4 almost by default. Like, I wasn't blown away, and how could you be, by their win last Sunday? Because Atlanta right now is soft. They're soft as like cream cheese.
Sure, yeah.
But, again, to go into that environment, to win on the road without Jalen McMillan, without Chris Godwin,
yeah,
with your field goal kicker trying to gag it away, give me some Tampa. Number 4 on the Roosters Super Six Pack. 6 teams ranked 1-6 in the NFL. Number 5. I didn't like this one, but I went with it because of their defense. the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm.
Number five. I got to see more J.J. McCarthy.
For sure.
But that was a hell of a fourth quarter comeback.
But I would like to see more J.J. McCarthy. That's the thing.
There you go.
Don't know if I want to see more Caleb Williams.
I don't. I don't either.
I think I'm
but
good.
But we're going to see them in a little Benny Johnson bowl.
Quite a few primetime games.
A little Benny Johnson reunion.
It'll be fun.
Coming up this Sunday. And then we'll see him in a couple of weeks, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams here in D.C. Number six and the final team in our Super Six Pack. The team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Brazil last Friday. The L.A. Chargers.
Los Chargers.
So, Green Bay number one, Buffalo number two, Philadelphia number three, Tampa number four, Minnesota number five, and the Chargers number six. That means the Commanders drop out because they were number four last year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no bueno. The Capitals just won the Stanley Cup, in case you're curious, 8 years ago. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, it's taking you up until 4 o'clock, which is just a couple of minutes away. Linnell Willingham, Burgundy and Gold today. God, watching Alex Ovechkin get the Stanley Cup.
Isn't it cool?
I mean, get his hands on it and how he like yells back at his teammates and then he lifts it as he's doing right now on NHL Network. Oh!
Triumphant.
Just the best. Sorry, just the best. I'm so distracted. I'm supposed to do Dumb Dumb of the Day. I don't even know if I can do Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Well, I'm going to play the sound, so I'm going to make you do it.
Okay. All right. First of all, apparently Shedeur Sanders is not even taking scout team reps as the third quarterback in Cleveland. Apparently, according to Tony Grossi of Cleveland ESPN Radio, who's been around forever, who remember had that confrontation with Shedeur Sanders, he's reporting that Shedeur is not even taking the scout team reps, which is what normally the third string quarterback does. There's Dylan Gabriel, there's Joe Flacco, and then there's some new quarterback, I forget, who they brought in. The Odyssey continues. But here's where we're at. Now listen, I don't want to get involved in anybody's relationship, but I'm going to. Do you know who Jalen Green is? The NBA's Jalen Green?
I'm aware.
Yeah. Well, apparently the 23-year-old was in New York City early this morning, Soho as a matter of fact, and got into a fight with Basketball Wives alum. I guess that was a reality TV show?
Yes.
Drea Michele, his girlfriend, as they call it, an intense late-night tussle. They were guests at the New York Fashion Week annual soiree and flanked by two unidentified pals. Attempting to quell the escalating argument as Michelle tried to confront Green. During the intervention, the duo continued to verbally spar outside of the ongoing 71 One Gin Party at around 2 a.m., which was going strong. They continued to yell at each other, "Stop! Stop! Stop! Everybody's going to get in trouble! Everybody forgive each other!" According to a friend and the New York Post, Page Six, they continued to argue with each other, walking down the sidewalks, one of the friends embracing the girlfriend, directing her away from the confrontation. The mom of three is wearing a just lovely outfit. He is, dressed to the nines as well. And that is basically the gist of the story. They have a one-year old daughter together, which means they shouldn't be out this late. They should be in bed. They should be taking care of their children. And they're probably going to not be a thing very long. Here's one thing that I would say. I don't want to get involved in anybody's relationship, but I'm going to get involved in somebody's relationship. Stop acting like idiots. If you want to argue, if you want to discuss things, have a discussion. I do it all the time. Do it all the time. With lots of people. Stop yelling at each other. Stop causing a scene. Stop causing problems. somebody's going to get hurt. Don't be dum-dums. Maybe this is what happens when a 40-year-old and a 23-year-old basketball player get together. I don't know. You know, I have no idea. She's got another kid from another relationship. She was with Orlando Scandrick, who played here in Washington for like 3 weeks. That was her ex-fiance. All right, Linnell Willingham is next. Thanks to Merrill Hodge. Thanks to Mad Max, who I think gets freed from his Friday jail sentence starting next week.
Hey, we're not calling it jail. It's always been a pleasure sharing these 3 hours with you to end my week.
My guy, I love you, man.
Love you too, pal.
I still owe you breakfast, lunch.
It's okay. We'll get there eventually.
At one point when my life is not just an absolute chaotic disaster, we will celebrate. All right, thanks to Mad Max. Have a great weekend, everybody. Linnell's up next. Adios.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.